Good morning. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene.
And today we're talking about Traveler RPG.
The Imperium. That's as much as I know.
So Jolene's never played Traveler because it's not one of my favorite RPGs, even though it's a very old RPG and it's science fiction and I love science fiction. There's many reasons, I suppose, that I never introduced Jolene to it. It is a very old game. I think it's produced in 1977. It followed the same kind of look or style of original D&D that came in little white boxes. So Traveler came in a little black box with three little books, and later on came with supplements. And they call them little books because they were like these digest size books. Later on, they came with different supplements. I forget what they were called, but they just added some more rules and some more. There were supplements to the game.
They added to the world. I read about Traveler.
Okay, there you go. So there's been all kinds of additions since then. There's at least, it's kind of hard to remember. But if I look at my notes, it tells me that, well, let's first talk about what Traveler is. It's a science fiction game, and it was real simple back in the day. There was a bunch of charts that told you what pluses and minuses you got for your roll. And so you had a roll over I believe it was a 6 or an 8, depending on what edition, but you roll 2 6-sided dice as a task resolution system, and you added your skill, and your skill would add like a +1 through a +0. You could have 0 skill, and you could go to, but I think +3 was probably usually the highest. You might be able to go a little bit higher than that. So you would add that to your 2 6-sided die roll, and all you had to do is roll an 8 or higher.
Which is interesting, because when I read about it, it said it was a crunchy system. And Saul saw that, Saul said, but there's only 2 6-sided dice. Then he told me about the charts, and I guess there were more than one chart.
Oh, yeah. It was a creature. It was a creature of its time, right? So it was had a lot of charts. And what happened was that it wasn't that difficult. The chart was just telling you what you get pluses or minus for, you know, depending on the situation. There were condition modifiers, right? Like if you were running, if you were in a car, or, you know, just different things like that.
So 1977, is that before or after the first Star Wars?
Star Wars came out in 1977. So it might have come out a little bit before, but I think 77 is when I think that's about right. It might have come out before that, but 77 is when Star Wars came out. So it was right around that time. But it's definitely built on the idea from D&D. So the person who created it was Mark Miller. He's still around. He's still making Traveler. In fact, there's a Kickstarter right now as of this recording, and he's making a revised edition to Traveler 5, which was the magnus opus of Traveler about 2 or 3 years ago. Might have been longer than that now.
So that would make it Traveler 6?
Well, we'll talk about Traveler 5 in a minute. So Traveler has gone through different incarnations of its rules. And there was a Traveler. And then GDW, which is a company that produced Traveler, went out of business years ago. And so the rights to the game went back to Mark Miller, the original creator. And so he's always said that he always wanted to redo Tool or redo Traveler. So along with Traveler, there's one of the different editions is Mark Miller's Traveler. So, you know, it still has the same name, but supposedly this was more like what he wanted Traveler to be. Now, I never owned Mark Miller's Traveler. It looked like a really nice set of books. This is way back. This is like, I can't remember. It was back when D&J Hobby used to be here, and I used to go to D&J Hobby, and this is like probably the mid-90s. Yeah, so it was a while ago. So there's been, like I said, there's been all kinds of incarnations of Traveler. There was the next era Traveler, which totally changed the rules. It went away from the 2D6 task resolution system. It depended on who the company was. So at that time, the company who made it was the same company that made Dark Conspiracy. And so they used their in-house task resolution system, which was like a D20, and it was pretty cool. I really liked it, but it didn't catch on. Too many people said that they didn't like it. So what's interesting about Traveler is that it features a character creation system where they call it the life path system, kind of. So you start your character at a certain age, and you decide what kind of service they want to go into, whether it's the Navy, the Mercantile, the Marines, and all these things. And you have to roll to see if you how long you're going to be enlisted for. And you could be enlisted for one tour or 20. I forget what the number is. And so, depending on how long you're in, you randomly roll what your skills are, what you get. So, like being sent to the service, and they teach you things, right? I don't know how much choice you have on what they teach you, but according to Traveler, you don't have much choice. You just roll randomly on this table, and each table is specific to each different branch of the service that you're in. So, like, if you go into the explorers, then you're going to have, like, a lot of explorer type of skills, or the more chances of getting.
But you don't get to choose?
Like, survival. No, you don't get to choose your skills.
Okay.
And then the top it off, which really sets Traveler apart, is at the end of your tour, you have to make a survival roll. So you could spend all this time making a character, and then if you fail your survival roll, he's dead way before you get to play him in the game. So some people love this. I thought it was a stupid idea. As a kid, I thought it was a dumb idea. You know, I was like, what's the point of that? You're making this character. But let's say you're really jazzed about this character. Well, you failed your survival roll. He's dead. He's dead, Jim.
Well, how long does it take to make the character?
I guess it wasn't that involved. You could probably make a character depending on how long you decide to stay in the service. If he's only going to go for one or two tours.
You decide or you roll.
You decide. I think you decide how long you're going to try to go in for. And then after that term is up, that tour is up, or let's say you sign up for two tours, you get all the skills, you make your survival roll, and then you get to roll for enlistment if you want to re-enlist. Or if you want to enlist in a different branch, it was harder to switch branches and all this other stuff. And it was all 2 6-sided dice. Like, you probably, let's say you want to re-enlist, and it would say, like, you only had 3 stats, I believe, 3 or 4 stats. I think it was 4 stats. And they were, like, strength, dexterity, and social standing. And there might have been IQ. Anyway, so what would happen was it would say if you have a 7 strength, then you get a +1 to re-enlist in the Marines. And, you know, it had all these little tables and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool. I mean, so it was pretty interesting in that sense that you make a character. And it was totally random. So you would get stuck, kind of like original D&D. You would roll randomly your stats, right? And then the same case here, you roll randomly stats. You roll randomly what skills you got. And so at the end of the tours that you decide to finish with, you would have the character that you did not decide almost a single thing other than whether to which branch to enlist and whether you want to re-enlist and stuff like that.
And you got to decide his name.
And his name, yes. Or her name. So that was interesting because the original D&D was very much like that. You roll randomly your stats. And then based on the stats, you would decide what your character would be, right? So if you've, you know, a lot of people don't like that idea. It's gone away. D&D 5th edition, you don't roll randomly, hardly. A lot of people do the pick these certain numbers, or they do the point by system. What was interesting about D&D and Traveler at the time, you would have to play the character that you rolled, right?
I know 3 boys who wouldn't like that.
Well, I think it allows, the good thing is it allows you to really role play, right? You don't get to decide what kind of character you want to be. You got this character that basically tells you what kind of character he's going to be. And then you have to roleplay that. You have to adjust your way you're playing. If you play a sorceress every time and you got lousy charisma and a big strength and a big constitution,
then you want to get to play a sorceress.
Then you probably don't want to play a sorceress that has a 6 charisma, right?
No.
So that's what Traveler is. And that's what Traveler was. I think later on, they came out with rules and you didn't have to roll for survival. I think Mongoose Traveler, who got the rights to do it years later, kind of changed that. I think maybe in the first time they did it, they got first edition and second edition Mongoose Traveler. And I think now, in the second edition, they took it out of the rules. So let's talk about editions, right? So there's original, the Little Black Box. There's Mark Miller's Traveler. And this is not in order that they appear published. There's a Traveler in the Next Era, New Era, which was done by the same people who did Dark Conspiracy. and they did Mongoose, which is a company, and they came out with Mongoose Traveler. And what they did is they simplified a lot of rules. They really kind of, like, what do you call it?
Retooled it.
They took away all the certain things they didn't like, or they reduced the number of skills and all these other things. And they took away the chart, so you wouldn't have to, have this chart. They made it so you would be able to, you didn't need a chart to figure all these things out. So I think it was pretty good idea. And they came out with second edition, which cleared up those things, any more problems that they had. And I think a lot of people really like Mongoose Traveler. If you look, if you ask people, that's probably the most, they really like the way that system is put together. They really like how it's thought out, how it's produced and everything. And they come out with all kinds of supplements. So I guess it's been a longer time than a couple of years ago. I think it's been 5 years, maybe longer, that Mark Miller, once again, who owned the rights to the game, decided, I want to make the Omnibus Traveler. And he came out with Traveler 5. And he kickstarted it. He made like $300,000. Took it over a year. And supposedly he had been working on this for years and years. And he came out with a book, Kickstarter's What It Is. It came out pretty late. And it was like 656-page book.
Is that as big as the Shadowrun book?
Shadowrun clocks in at a little bit over 500 pages, so it's even bigger than that. And I didn't...
That's a lot of information. That,
that's exactly. And so, and that's what it is, right? I think one of my friends that used to live here, he's moved away, Chris, he was a big Traveler fan. And one time I saw it at his house. I go, oh. And there was all kinds of things you got with it. You got dice, you have CD-ROMs of all the old editions of Traveler, at least the ones that Mark Miller was responsible for. And this is, it's kind of hard to miss because it's a huge book. And it's, and the one he had was, I think it was bright red or something, but they said it was black. But maybe he got a special limited edition. I don't know. But it was huge, and it stuck out. And he goes, oh, so what do you think of Traveler 5? He goes, it's a good doorstop. And he's a Traveler fan. So there's people out there. Now, Traveler 5 is very divided people. There's people who just love Traveler and they don't care what it looks like. And then there's people who are a little bit more realistic about it, and they basically complain about the book because it's huge. They say it's very
unwieldy.
Not organized very well. There's a lot of typos. There's a lot of rules. There's a ton of information, right? They talk about how you can figure out all kinds of things. Let's say for a planet, they talk about all different aspects of like culture, how xenophobic they are and all these other things. But this one person who reviewed it said, I can't find information what these numbers mean. So they give you an example of a planet, and it has this chart that has all kinds of numbers pointing toward the name of the planet. And the person, and the only thing that person knows for sure is one thing out of that box, those numbers, and the numbers range from 1 through 6, and she can't tell if 1 is good or is a 6 good. And so, and then there's other funky things, like they'll rate things right between like -2 and 4, and the higher the better, but they don't tell you. And then there's all kinds, it's a lot of math involved in figuring things out. It's very complicated. And even people who I read quite a few reviews about it, and even people who love Traveler said that it was very unwieldy. A lot of people bought it just because it was Traveler. But
so there were people that obviously are diehard Traveler fans.
Oh, yeah.
That would like it no matter what it was. And then there's going to be people who are critical. I haven't read the book, so I can't tell you anything about it. But as far as I know, just like D&D, some people like certain things out of certain editions and some people don't.
That's true.
So if you have it and you like Traveler, then I assume that there's a lot of people who like all that information, and then there's going to be people who don't.
Right. Well, the problem is that a lot of people say it's just not very well put together, and that the information that you get, and for example, one reviewer said that, for example, they want to know something about the planet, right? And Traveler is basically like, I would think most campaigns, unless it's a military campaign, it's somebody who, because there's a lot of when you create a character, they're usually in the military at some point or one of the services. And when you get out, they talk about you buying a ship. Now, buying a ship is millions of microcredits, right? It's like buying a ship, right? Like a shrimp boat or,
a yacht,
a yacht, right?
And although it wouldn't be a yacht.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a yacht. And so what you do is usually you're a free trader, they call them, right? And that's usually the campaign you run. So it's very much like Firefly, right? You have a little ship and you fly from one place to another, trading, being a merchant, taking on passengers, and getting into trouble everywhere you go. Right, because you can
or
go
trying not to get into trouble.
Well, but the whole point of you know, otherwise you're playing, you know, what is it? You're playing like merchant, right? And so I remember doing that. I remember there were rules even in a little black book that if you went to a certain type of agriculture rich planet, you could get supplies, the agricultural supplies, really cheap. And then if you took that stuff to a industrial planet, you'd get more money for your agricultural goods, because it's like, I guess, foodstuffs and stuff like that. And you know, that's how you would make money, right? Is you buy low, sell high, right? And so you can literally just play merchant and go from place to place. How exciting is that? I mean, I'd rather just stare at a blank screen.
I'm sure that the GM is not gonna just let you do that. Or they might let you do it for a little while, but you're gonna run into somebody or something.
So it's like Firefly, where you know, usually you're, you know, because you owe so much money on this thing, and that kind of trading usually, and then there's a little bit of luck involved, right? Because you always roll on this random table, you know, because that's what it is, right? It gives you like the chance to sell, gives you a plus four, right? But you could roll snake eyes, and then you're like, oh man, I barely made one or a couple of thousand credits. And then, of course, you know, there's the logistics of you have to buy fuel. And if you have people who are employed, you got to pay them. So it could quickly become like accountants and more accountants, right? Which doesn't sound too much fun. But there were rules for that. And so they, by the time Traveler 5 came out, I guess Mark Miller really dug deep into that thing. And then he changed the task resolution system. It wasn't 2 6-sided dice. It was something else. So, I mean, I think it was pretty much universally, except for diehard fans and a small group of people, it was definitely not liked. Traveler 5 wasn't liked very much. Because if you go to a convention, or I've never heard of anybody playing Traveler 5 of all my friends.
All I have to say, I don't play Traveler, so I don't know. But if it's anything like D&D 4th edition, a lot of people didn't like it. But there are people that did like it,
yeah.
And I do see those games, so I'm sure that it's the same for other games.
Right.
And you also said that Mark Miller is redoing it on Kickstarter, right?
Right now, right. Yes. And so basically he's redoing Traveler 5. He's on Kickstarter, and he's basically doing a second edition of Traveler 5, which he says, you know, there's a lot of mistakes. He wants to re-edit it and re-put it together and make it more readable and more user-friendly. Because supposedly the way it is it's not very user-friendly. And our friend Chris, who's very smart, he got a degree in, what, physics or something crazy like that, he hated it. And he was a total Traveler fanatic. I mean, he had almost every book. It wasn't a Traveler campaign. One of his favorite campaigns that he always talked about was Traveler. And he was a very much a Traveler aficionado. And he literally hated it. He said, I'll use it as a book stop. That's basically what it's for. So, because it's a huge book. And he was talking about the huge.
I understand.
Story. Traveler is 5 was not well received. But Mongoose second edition is still played. And a lot of people love it. Because it still has that 2d6 task resolution. It's still identifiable as Traveler, the original Traveler. And I think that was another problem with like 4th edition D&D, right? They changed certain things about it that certain people didn't like it. Like, I don't know what it was. They took out dwarves or something. You couldn't. There was some player races that it just wasn't D&D to some certain people. And this is what happened with Traveler 5.
Which brings us to, you told us about the editions of Traveler and a little bit about the system, but what about the races and what the actual system is like?
Oh, the setting?
The Imperium and
well,
all of that.
I think originally there wasn't too much about the setting in the little black books. It was just rules. So you can make up your own galaxy, whatever. And they had different tech levels, right? So you could have like hard science fiction. You know, there wasn't faster than light travel. So it would take, you know, so it was all like in a solar system, you know, maybe there was a Mars on colony or stuff. Kind of like the Expanse, right? You can only be in our solar system. Or you could use a little bit more technological advanced system and be able to go to a few stars. And so it would be like the Terrans, the humans, expanding into nearby star systems. But what came out out of Traveler was the Imperium, right? They decided to come out with their own setting, sort of. And this setting is huge. I mean, they came up with books and supplements. It's huge, right? They have this whole history, and it's an Imperium, right? The human installed an Imperium, an empire in the stars. It's kind of like, it reminds me of Star Wars, right? Because they have the Emperor, and then they have all these military governors, I think they are, or whatever. They have people in charge of certain areas. I don't know if they call them in Star Wars, but they're governors or something, usually. And then, of course, the Imperium is, there's a thing called social standing in Traveler. And the higher your social standing, you could actually become a noble within the Imperium. Because it's like, what do you call it? The whole nobility thing is involved.
Aristocratic?
Aristocratic, yes. System. I forget where I was going. I think that's the setting that most people use. And then, of course, they added, I forget the name, Vargr, I believe, is like these dog people. Mm-hmm. And they invaded, and they do all kinds of, you know, there's all kinds of future history that's involved. And so you basically decide when, what period you want to set your campaign in or your game.
So there are dog people. Or
the dog people, yes.
Is that what they call? They don't call them dog people. No, but they look like dogs, but they stand up and walk.
Yes, yes.
I'm sure there's other races too.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. But like I said, I'm not that well versed in Traveler. I don't think I even own a Book of Traveler. Honestly, I do own the next era, or the new era Traveler, because I really like that system, and I really like, and they have just like Dark Conspiracy, which I really liked. They have the kind of like the life path system. You decide what career you're going to be in, and then you get skills based. You get to pick them, though. You get to pick the skills that career offers, and then, you know, you get to go from that career to something else. And so it kind of uses that life path system, but it's a totally different, you know, task resolution system. But I'm sure you could you still use, and I think they changed the setting a bit. They came out with that's another thing that a lot of people didn't like in the next era, the new era. Sorry, the next era. I think you're thinking Star Trek, right? The new era was that they came out with I think it was a virus that messed up a bunch of computers, and so it kind of like redid the whole.
But if there's no universe. No faster than light space travel, then you can't go very far because it takes a long time to get to Mars.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but they do have the ability to, you know, it all depends on your tech level that you want to use in your campaign. So if you have a low tech level, like just a little bit more advanced than we are now, then you're right. You're stuck, you know, using rockets and stuff.
But you wouldn't get very, I mean, it still takes, what, 90 years or something to get to Mars?
No. Well, Mars, it'll probably take like a year, okay, a year and a half.
Not 90 years, but by the time you get there.
Yeah.
And get back.
Well, like I said, there's different tech levels, right? So you could, they have this, they have rules for jump drive, right? Just where you jump so many light years or a certain distance within a 24-hour period. So you literally, boom, you cease to exist and you jump to the new location.
You can't cease to exist.
Well, I don't know how they define it, but you basically go into a different universe, or do you know how, there's all kinds of complicated ideas about faster than light or this interstellar travel, and I don't know what the rules are or what it exactly means to jump, but literally you jump out of existence, and when you reappear in another part of,
so that's space. Like Star Wars when you go into hyper,
yeah, drive. In hyperspace, you actually go you're actually traveling through hyperspace.
Yes,
right. You, in this place, I think in Jump Drive, you just kind of seeks to exist, or you enter a different universe or a different universe or whatever, and then you reappear back in your own universe. That's the Jump Drive. So, and the Jump Drive is rated by how far you can jump, like jump 2, jump 8, jump 10. And then they have rules for faster than light speed. Like, I think they do have faster than light, but for a lot of people, they like that Jump Drive system, that Jump Drive
Okay, mechanic. When you say jump drive, are there actual jump gates?
No.
Okay.
No, your ship really just jumps by itself. Okay. That's what they call it. I forget what it stands for. I should have looked it up. But I just remember that's what they called it, jump drive. And the rating was a number, and the number was how far you could jump. So in the reason there's an empire is because there is no faster than light communication, right? There's no instantaneous interstellar communication. So the fastest something could a message or anything could travel is as fast as your fastest ship. So much like the empire, Roman Empire, for example, you know, the emperor can say an edict in Rome, and it would take a week to get to Gaul, maybe
a little longer, probably a little
longer, depending on how fast you want to get there. So that's what I think that's what they base it on, right? They base it on the Roman Empire, and so because of that, they have all these they have the emperor, and then they have all these subjects and stuff.
I don't mean
like
to be stuck on this, but if you blink and you turn up somewhere else 24 hours later, there has to be a space where you are in that time. I'm just saying.
There's an alternate reality or a different universe. Okay. I forget how they explain it.
It couldn't be a different universe. Why not? It could be in between universes there or you something go. Like that. But
whatever makes you grok the whole situation, yes. Maybe they do have a better explanation.
You just don't remember what it is.
I don't remember what it is. Because like I said, I used to just...
I'm going
to
go with that one instead of the blinking out of existence and blinking into existence.
Yes, you literally jump.
That doesn't work.
You literally jump. That's why they call it a jump drive. Because you don't like travel. You don't like move from point A to point B. You literally just boink. And then you reappear wherever you're astrogator.
So they must have... Even the TARDIS doesn't do that, okay? I'm just telling you right now.
I think it was an interesting idea. I think that they wanted to deal with faster light travel and didn't want to deal with...
Maybe they did watch Doctor Who, because Doctor Who came out in the 60s, right?
I'm sure, yeah. Yeah, so. I'm sure. I don't know. I don't know Mark Miller personally. So if we ever talk to him, we could ask him what he came up with. But he's obviously a very smart guy, and he... He's thought about this quite a bit.
And when Sal reads things and has them in his head, and it's been a while since he's actually played the game, I have to question him because I just do.
I may not remember it right. Well, like I said, I never really ran Traveler because I wasn't really happy with the system.
Is Traveler the one that you said that Felipe, the guns where you can't...
Yeah, you have guns in space.
But they're not blaster guns.
No, they're bullets.
So it is like Firefly.
It is exactly like Firefly. Yes, yes. The Firefly setting, except you know, Firefly, you actually could.
So you couldn't have blaster guns. But if I want to be in space, I want to have a gun like on Star Wars.
Pew, right, pew, a pew, blaster. Pew. Pew, pew. Yes, pew pew pew. Again, it depends on the tech level that the GM wants to run. But the standard tech level, so the tech level usually was between 1 and 10, right? 1 being Stone Age, you know, barely using tools. And I think our current era, 1980 through 2000, that tech level was between 5 and 6, maybe touching on 7. It all depends. I forget where nuclear power is on the scale, but I think it's around 5. And then at tech level 7 is like fusion power, which we have yet to achieve, I believe. Well, right?
Okay, just stop. Go on.
So anyway, so the standard, I think, tech level was between 8 and 9. Not tech level 10, which gave you, you know, blasters and faster than light speed. You still had to do the jump drive, and you still had bullets. Because you did have backpack lasers. I remember going on about backpack lasers. Where you could have a laser gun and it was really cool, but you would have to carry like a 50-pound backpack to power the laser. So, there you go.
That doesn't sound too high-tech.
Well, no, that's why it was considered hard science fiction, right? We still had, people didn't have little fusion reactors inside their little pistol to be able to shoot blasters. I don't know. There was no blaster, it was lasers, right? And lasers didn't make pew-pew sound. They just were silent, right? Because lasers don't make noise. They don't even actually have to be seen, right? It could be... Hence my problem with, because I wanted to play Star Wars, and we were playing, at the time, we were playing Firefly, which at the time...
Didn't exist.
I didn't. Yeah, it didn't exist. Of course, I was a kid, and I wasn't all that interested. I wanted something, grand, you know, like Star Wars, and
Traveler. You got the nitty gritty.
And the Traveler was based, the setting, it's like the standard setting. I don't know what you call it.
The standard setting.
Whatever. Well, the standard setting of Traveler was around tech level 7 or 8, where you jump drive, you still have bullets and guns in space and stuff like that. I mean, it all depended on your GM, right? Your GM, if your GM was creative and ran good games, then it was a good, you know, it was a good game. You know, my friend Mark, you know, when he ran, I had a lot of fun playing in his game. You know, it was very military based. You know, we always gained into trouble. And I don't remember a lot about our ship, if we owned the ship or if we were captain of the ship. But I do remember we got into a lot of trouble and doing all kinds of crazy things. Like, you know, we would do assault a base that was doing something or other. I don't know what I remember. But remember I told you about Mark and his maps. And he was very good at drawing maps because he was a graphic artist. So his maps were beautiful. And his games were pretty good. And he was, you know, he even came out with his own zine, which is like a little booklet called Adjutant. And he produced it and he printed it and he sold it. And he, I don't know how many of those he made, he published, but he made little, you know, a monthly zine or every other month. And this is back in the late 80s, early 90s. Jolie's looking at me like I'm from Planet Zeebo again.
So Traveler sounds like a really cool game.
I think it is. I think it's pretty good now. Now, as an older gamer, I could look at Traveler and I could see playing a harder science fiction game, not with, you know, pew pew lasers and fast and light travel and hyperspace. I could see, you know, why that Imperial setting would be very, very fun to play in, right? Because, you know, when you have fast and light communication, instant communication between stars, you know, it takes something, I don't know what you call it. It just changes the whole dynamic of the game, of the campaign. So when you have an Imperium and you don't have fast and light travel or fast and light communication, then, you know, you have that whole imperialistic setting. But in space, it sounds pretty cool. I would probably wouldn't mind playing Traveler, not Traveler 5, but probably like Mongoose Traveler 2nd Edition, which I heard is really good. And I even bought a PDF of, so now they have OSR versions of.
You notice he started out with, I don't own any, and then.
Well, it's a PDF, so it's not really owning. Along with other rules, like old D&D rules, they have OSR, which is an old school Renaissance or old school Revolution of Traveler, and they call it the classic 2D6 system, right? That's what they call it, science fiction system. And so they have other, these different companies have come out with their own rules and their own settings for basically Traveler. Now they can't use the word Traveler because that's copyright, but they can, what they call it, the classic 2D system science fiction resolution. So the OSR people have done that, and with the, I can't think of the word. And so with that kind of liberty, they are able to come up with these fantastic additions or fan-made or smaller-produced rules. Like Cepheus, I think is the name of the books that I bought. And what they do in Cepheus, they were part of the Empire, but then they got disconnected.
So it's a different setting.
It's a different setting, right?
Yes.
Sorry, I was going to go into a different. But it looks pretty cool. I haven't looked at it closely. But I bought it because it was really cheap. That's Traveler, at least our take on Traveler. I know it's a little bit disjointed there, but mainly because I'm trying to remember things from my brain and not stuff that I wrote down. I'm going to edit all that out.
Thank you. So if you have a chance, play Traveler if you like the setting and it sounds very interesting. It's probably a science fiction space game.
Yes.
That people will like.
Yeah, right.
Thanks for listening. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene.
You have a good night.